And a word now from the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, picking up rather than the 12th verse, focusing from the 18th forward. Hear these words for such time as this. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed in us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our salvation. Amen. Earlier this week, New York Times columnist Nicholas Kristof wrote an op-ed piece titled, "We Interrupt This Gloom to Offer Hope." I suppose if I hadn't already come up with a title for this morning's sermon, that would have been a good one. I want to interrupt all of the gloom this morning to offer you a little hope and to remind us all, you and me, that right now in this world of gloom, we were born to be the children of hope. Or maybe better put, we are being born to be the children of hope. And anybody who knows anything about birth knows that it's hard. And none of us would have done it unless we had to. And that is sort of the thesis of Kristof's op-ed, in which he says that it may be that we Americans are coming to a point where we have experienced so much pain and loss that we are actually now ready to surrender ourselves to the birth of something new and ready to embrace, as we did during the Great Depression, long needed changes that would have been impossible in cheerier times. These are not cheery times. They are trying times. They're evil times. They're the times that try our souls, and they are the times into which we've been born and must be born again. In the lesson I read a few moments ago, Paul is talking about birth and rebirth. I don't know what Paul of Tarsus knew about the birthing process. He was a man. And probably not any woman I know would want Paul around during labor. He said that he had become all things to all people, but a midwife, I am doubtful. Nevertheless, Paul knew enough to know that birth is indeed hard and exhausting and excruciatingly painful, and therefore an apt metaphor for the world into which he was writing. He was writing to the Christians in Rome who were living under persecution and the threat of persecution. He was writing mostly to slaves and the sons and the daughters of slaves and a few freeborn folk and some citizens who had all found themselves together in this same church at the same time. It was dangerous out there. Some of them risked everything just to be at church. And every one of them was at risk when they declared to believe and to say that Jesus Christ and not Caesar is Lord. So they suffered, and they were expelled, and they were maligned, and they were persecuted. And whenever things were going badly for the emperor, he would create a fire and blame it on them because they were minorities. It's an old trick. And so these early Christians were always living one hairbreadth away from disaster or death or utter dismay. They were always hanging on by just a thread. And knowing all of this, knowing how hard it was for the Christian community to live under the shadow of Caesar, Paul picked up his pen and wrote to them to give them a little bit of hope. In hope, we were saved, he said. And in hope, we wait with patience, sure that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that is about to be revealed in us. That word hope is so important. The title of this sermon this morning comes from something St. Augustine said about hope. Augustine said hope has two beautiful children. Their names are anger and courage. Anger at the way things are and courage to see that they do not remain as they are. We have seen these two children being born this year, and we know what they represent: a more decent humanity, a more just society, a more perfect union. It's all of the things embodied in that early Christian community where there was neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, male nor female, but all were one in Christ Jesus. It was all for one and one for all. And that is what the columnist, Christoph, was saying this week that we've got to get back to. We've got to overcome all of the divisions in this country. Quit letting people separate and divide us and get back to some sense of the common good. Or if you don't believe in going backwards, I don't, go forwards into the common dream. For everyone will sit beneath their own vines and under their own fig trees, and no one shall make them afraid. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity. For they shall be offspring blessed by the Lord and their descendants as well. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, but the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not harm or destroy on all my holy mountain, declares the Lord. That's the dream. And Paul says all the world is waiting for it to be born. All creation, he says, is waiting on hope to give birth to her children. And so in the midst of this hard, hard labor, he says, we can't give up. We can't quit believing that what we are doing will make a difference. I know how hard labor is. Well, I don't really know how hard labor is, but I have an idea. When Irie and I had our firstborn child, we were up in Vermont, and we took birthing classes from this hippie instructor who had this idea of birth being all beautiful with lights dimmed and candles glowing and Enya music playing. It sounded wonderful. And I remember one class she handed out ice cubes and had us all hold them in our hands in a balled fist for a minute or so before then releasing. We did this three or four times. Then she said, that's what contractions are like, coming and going. I can tell you, I don't know much, but I know that that's not a thing like the contractions I saw. It was not a thing like the childbirth I saw. I mean, the real thing really was excruciating and hard coming and despairing even. And that was just for me, the husband. I can't imagine what it was like for Irie. But she kept going. And she couldn't give up. And on the other side was the baby. And Jesus said, a woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets all of the anguish because of her joy that the child has been born into the world. Our time has come now. The anguish of the birth of a new world is upon us. It's hard. It's hard to bring about a world of equity and inclusion and mutual belonging and beloved community. But on the other side of the labor is the joy. On the other side of the labor is the peace. As Paul says, I am sure that the present sufferings we endure now are not worth comparing to all that is to come. And I am sure that the present sufferings we are enduring now during the midst of this COVID are not worth comparing to the new community that should and must be born when it's all said and done. This suffering should give birth to something new, something good. This week we lost a great American who was not unacquainted with suffering. John Lewis was the epitome of courage and conviction. And like a mother in labor, he was willing to shed his own blood for the sake of the birth of something new in America. And it's still being born. Dr. King's I Have a Dream speech receives all of the headlines, but I would encourage you this afternoon to go home. I guess you are home. And Google John Lewis's speech at the March on Washington in 1963. He spoke of issues like police brutality and the right to peaceful protest and fair employment and the protection of the voting booth. We are still working on these things today. And that can sometimes be a bit despairing for us all. We wonder, after all that we've come through, will we ever get there? Will the dream ever come true? But then I read words which Lewis spoke to some young people not long ago. Words which speak to the moment I think we are in now and the need now never, ever to give up. Do not get lost in a sea of despair, he said. Be hopeful. Be optimistic. Our struggle is not the struggle of a day, a week, a month, or a year. It is the struggle of a lifetime. John Lewis's struggle on this earth is not worth comparing to the glory that he now experiences in the kingdom of heaven. And the charge that we have now in our own days and weeks and lifetimes is to keep being about bringing that kingdom to earth, even as it is in heaven. Augustine was right. Hope has two children, but not two only. There's anger and there's courage, but there's also peace and justice and kindness and compassion and equality and several others. And then there's the greatest of all of the siblings, which is love. We cannot give up right now. We cannot lose heart. We can't get lost in the sea of despair, thinking we aren't going to come through all of this gloom. We have to hold on. We have to keep at it. We have to, as they say in labor and delivery, keep pushing. We have to keep pushing until love is born. And all of her brothers and sisters and kindred with her, all hope's children have to be born into this world. And what we will say when that happens is the same thing that the old rabbi said at the birth of every single newborn baby. This child is a sign that it's God's opinion that life must go on. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God and birthing mother of us all, and all of God's people then said, Amen and amen.